day. It's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day it's a getting faster. Everyone said go ahead and ask her. Love like
yours. And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
And Damien seems to be missing today. What's up with him? Why didn't he have his time off, as he asked?
Yes, I believe so. But you know, Damien, every once in a while he tends to, go to sleep and forget us.
Damn prima donna.
Yeah, what can you do, right?
Anyways, we're moving on. This week, kind of wanted to keep it short. Recently, we got around to watching the latest Lynn Ramsey film. We need to talk about Kevin.
It's all right. To rock him a little bit, it's all right.
You just have to rock him a little bit. You just have to rock him a little bit.
Say ball, but shouldn't he be talking by now?
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Thank you.
Go, 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 go!
Die!
He's a sweet little boy. That's what boys do.
What next, Mumsy?
Very struck by this film, Douglas. What did you think of it?
Struck by this film? Well, I was definitely extremely excited about it when I first saw the trailer. But I mean, it had this great concept of this mother who, I don't know if you'd say she hated her child, but you know, her child definitely hated her. and there was a huge amount of tension there. And that's what, you know, you saw in the trailer. And actually, the funny thing is, based on the trailer that I saw, and I don't purport to be a big trailer watcher anymore. So mostly the trailers I watch are the few that are force-fed to me by Nicholas and the few that are force-fed to me by you. The trailer that I watched made this look like a regular movie, you know? Just highlighting that tension, and then maybe there'd be a big climax at the end. And I thought that would be, you know, enough of an entertaining hour and a half for me to spend my time on it. And when I actually watched this movie last night, I realized that this movie wasn't a movie at all. It was a film. It was cinema. this movie, wow. It really, it kind of punched me in the face in the first 10 to 15 minutes after I finally realized, you know what? This is not what I thought it was going to be. Yes, it had all the pieces of the puzzle that I saw from whichever trailer it was that I saw, but it was done in such it was done in a way I didn't kind of expect. How they approach it is not that this is a movie about this child and the relationship between the mother and the child, in a straightforward fashion. It has all of those things, but first of all, it's a time jump movie, and it starts with the mother remembering everything. So you can see immediately that something went way wrong, because mommy ain't doing too well now. And when you look in the memory, she was pretty well off for herself, you know. So you know something crazy happened. And you kind of, I like the way that they kind of, even though it's all over the place. At least the memories themselves are actually both stories, the memory and the present tense. The past tense and the present tense are very much in chronological order, and you can kind of see the build-up in each. Of course, me personally, and I'm sure most people who watch this movie, are more interested in the past, that storyline. And that's the one where, you know, you really get that the history between the mother and the child, which actually starts from when he was a toddler, which I thought was very interesting. And wait, actually, not even a toddler, an infant, rather. I've got my baby terminology. So I don't know. I still, even though it is the format of the movie threw me, and so for a while I was kind of, I guess, out of sorts, and, you know, not quite, I had to adjust from my expectations to what actually was placed in front of me. I actually really like this movie. Technically the story itself, that sort of tension, that sort of culmination to the end product is not necessarily very novel, but I think all of the aspects, the devil's in the details, as I always say, you know, the way it's told is really what works for this movie. Plus, of course, you know, you've got a ridiculously talented cast. You've got John C. Reilly, who, you know, can go from comedy to serious acting in a half of a blink of an eye. And you've got Tilda Swinton, who is just prime for the next Conan O'Brien biopic. And then you've got one of my favorite child actors, who actually didn't know his name, is Ezra something.
Ezra Miller.
That dude is kind of awesome. I remember loving him for his, you know, kind of sarcasm or a sarcastic acting in both Californication and Royal Pains. And there is a bit of that in here, but he's kind of showing that, you know, he's not necessarily a one-trick pony. He can do a little bit more, and I really do hope to see more of him. I mean, he's been in a lot of, well, not a lot, but the things I've seen him in have been very good.
Reviewed other films with him in recent times.
City Island was fantastic.
City Island, as well as After School, which he featured heavily.
Yeah, After School. Yeah, even though I didn't like After School, but he was good in After School. this movie... This movie hit me both on an entertainment level in terms of what I had wanted out of the movie, but also it hit me on a level where, you know, I could appreciate the technical soundness and the roundabout way that they tried to do this. Not tried, that they accomplished in this storytelling. And so I'm kind of happy that I watched this movie.
For me, what I think got me about this movie, and I have a very weird reaction to it. It's one of those, like how you started out, you said, like, it's not a movie, it's a film. It's cinema, you know, it's a highbrow concept film where they are talking about the idea of a son hating their mother. And we've seen this before. Throughout movies, you know, but usually it's a story where it's when the son's reached a certain age, and after the mother has treated him horribly for so many years, he's come to realize, hey, this woman isn't that nice a person, and I don't really like her. I mean, yes, I live with her, but I don't like her. And he works as hard as possible to not be around her anymore, or whatever. In this film, however, for some reason, the moment this child spouts out of Tilda Swinton's womb, he can't stand her, even before he's conscious enough to decide this upon himself. I mean, there's...
I love that.
Like, anytime she's holding the baby is crying. There's a scene particularly where she has the baby walking out in the street. Why can't I remember the name of this thing?
Jackhammer.
I was thinking about the thing the baby is in, the carriage.
Oh, the pram?
Pram. Why couldn't
or stroller. Stroller,
yeah.
It's probably the non-British version of that word.
let's be British. The pram. It's a BBC film. And
that's true.
And she just decides she'd rather listen to the jackhammer than hear her own child cry for another half an hour. As she's walking her own. And also, I've heard people point this out, and I noticed it during that very scene, and I'd like to believe it was done on purpose. This woman, Lynn Ramsey, decides to have Tilda Swinton pulling out around the pram, which looks like the exact same stroller that was used in Rosemary's Baby, which comes around to one of the biggest things about this movie that struck me, is that this is basically a horror film. It is a highbrow horror film, and it brings about all of the greatest concepts of horror. We, on the podcast, are not fans of horror, mainly because all it wants to do is scare you. It wants to have that moment where the ghost pops out from around the corner and goes boo, and we jump. But the truth about it is what truly gets me in horror, and when they do it right, it's perfect. Is when they don't try to scare me as much as they try to disturb me. They try to take something that I might have an understanding of in life and completely twist it in a way that I can go, you know, shit, that might just happen. And fuck, what if this happens to me? Like, this, I think this is the movie that we should do. We should stop having sex ed classes in high school and just play this movie for children. And they will learn the appreciation for contraceptives and abstaining from sex. Because you will worry all your life that one day you will get a child as horrendous as Kevin, played by Ezra Miller. John C. Reilly, who I love to death. I don't really take that much note of him in this movie because he's doing what he does in every film. He's just being the likable character. But at the same time, I don't hate him for it either, because this is really Tilda Swinton and Ezra Miller's film. It's the film of these two people and how they manage to go by the entire of Kevin's childhood. It just got me in such a way that it's under my skin. I can't understand why this child hates his mother so completely when he, as I said before, literally right out of the room, when obviously he didn't even know he hated his mother at that point. It's a great movie, but at the same time, I don't see myself watching this ever again because it's difficult to get into. I don't know if you get me in that. It took me a little while to get used to
what
this movie was really presenting.
I actually agree with you. I kind of chalked it all up to, as I said, my expectations not quite with what I was getting. And so I would hope that if I were to watch it again, it wouldn't take me that kind of time. But yeah, this is the story. It's rough. And the way it's told also, you know, it's not just straightforward, here we go. It's like, you know, for a good while, you're thinking to yourself, but what, you know, what's going on? So.
Yeah, what I particularly found interesting with the movie is that while it does something that we've seen numerous times again, which is playing on the fact that we're dealing with some past trauma and present day results of which. And we know something is coming. We know the linchpin of what happened to create this present world in which everyone under the sun wants to pretty much kill Tilda Swinton, right? And we can guess, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's fairly obvious what well, the general thing that took place.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, can I tell you, I throughout this whole movie, I kept asking myself the same question, and even at the end of the movie when I finally saw what exactly had happened, I still had that question. I was thinking to myself, why is everybody upset with her? I'm pretty sure she didn't do anything. You know?
Like, I chalk that up to people need someone to blame, and since they can't do anything to him.
Since they can't punch certain other people in the face, you know.
Right.
They can do it to her.
I chalk it up to that, right? And I let that one fly. But at the same time, I'm more intrigued in why, as I said, why was he like that? I mean, I believe that sometimes people are just shits, but I mean,
actually, I think that's how I take this one, because I actually like it that way. You know, like a lot of the times you look at movies and you're like, but that doesn't make any sense at all. And that's actually, I don't want to say my favorite part, but one of the things that I love about his character is you never quite understand. You see what he's doing. You see how he's playing each parent against each other. You see how he's this manipulative and for lack of a better word, evil person, and it's never explained why. You never need an explanation, because you keep asking the question, or I did. But the best you can do is that there's something wrong with him, because it's not like it was because of something that happened. He's been this way since, you know, if he was Mark Wahlberg, he'd say since he had his baby teeth or whatever. So there's that. And yes, you know, the mother has retaliated every once in a while, but who can blame her? Because this guy, I mean, really, if there was ever a case for post-birth adoption, he would be one. And B, he started it.
Did you mean to say post-birth abortion?
Yes. Oh, shoot, did I say adoption?
You did.
yes. Damn. My joke did not work.
and that's when I think the Rosemary's Baby tie-in comes even stronger, because the whole thing about Rosemary's Baby, if you've never seen it, is it's the whole idea of this woman believing she's about to give birth to the devil, the spawn of the devil, right? And it's a big psychological thing going on while she's pregnant. And this movie basically is someone who has given birth to what she can believe is the spawn of the devil. And us watching how this child ruins this woman's life over his entire childhood. And that's kind of one thing that I love about this movie. It's insane. But what I really want to do is I want us to kind of take up the veil and announce, hey guys, we're gonna talk about spoilers unless there's anything else you want to mention.
Right.
Unless there's anything you want to mention before we lift that veil. Is there?
Not much, just that I really did like Ezra Miller in this movie.
So if you haven't seen this film and you don't want to be spoiled, please turn off right now and come back next week. We'll have a full episode for you, then you can check it out. Over at gmailreviews.com. Douglas, what was your favorite Ezra Miller says fuck you to Tilda Swinton moment, please?
I think probably my favorite one. I'd have to think hard, but off the top of my head, the biggest one that pops out to me and the one that I really was like, you're a little bastard, was when he was very young, and he got sick, and he was so nice to his mother for that day or that night, and you even saw it on her face. It's like she was ready to cry. She finally could connect with this boy. Finally, he's letting her read him stories. He's lying down, you know, he's cuddling with her. When his father came into the room, he told him to fuck off and go away because he was with his mommy. And then the next day, it was completely the opposite and back to where it was. And he's just like, what's your problem? What's your problem? No, I don't need you anymore. I probably never needed you anyway. I just wanted to fuck with you. That was probably my favorite part.
I think my favorite moment, I mean, besides, of course, the final linchpin moment, is when he was actually still a child, like a really tiny child, and she was playing with the ball with him, and he wouldn't respond at all. And, you know, you question, is there something wrong with this child? And then they have an intercut with a moment where she takes him to a doctor, and the doctor says, no, the child's fine, you're just being crazy. Just be normal, and hopefully eventually he'll grow out of it. And she continues to play the ball with the child, and the child stops and responds and grabs the ball and throws it back to the mother to show, hey, I do understand you, I just don't want to play with you. And then it just continues for the rest. It's kind of like that same moment that you were talking about with...
That's exactly what I was thinking. I thought it was hilarious because it's the same exact thing. He finally pushes it to her and you see her face light up. She's like, oh yes, that's exactly what we're to do. Let's play. And then she pushes it back and he's just like...
Fuck you.
At one point, I think it's funny that you mentioned the doctor thing, right? Because I think the main reason that she took her there was that he wasn't talking. He wasn't really saying anything or responding at all to her. And, you know, at one point, the first word that you hear from him in this movie, and the first word it seems that he says to his mother, is when, well, I don't want to say they, but she is trying to play with the ball. And I think she says something like, come on, let's play with the ball, throw it back. And his first word is, no. And that's obviously.
It's like Caesar, it rise of the planet of the apes. No. It's delivered with such power. But what I really want to get to know is the actual final linchpin scene, the scene where we find out what this person, what Kevin did, and why Tilda Swinton's character is in this present purgatory. And it is when we find out that he has staged a massacre at school with his bow and arrow, and also murdered his father and little sister. What did you feel about that scene when it came about? Did it pay due to what you were looking towards, knowing that it was coming, knowing that something of that nature was coming?
I knew something of that nature. I always wondered why you didn't. Sure. What did I say? I said I kind of had a vague knowledge. You know, you kind of can expect what's coming. I had always had, and it explained a bit because I always had this question in the back of my mind, which was, why is it that we're only seeing in the future, in the present, we're only seeing his mother go about her business? And yes, you know, you could say, well, Kevin killed a bunch of folks, maybe they got divorced, but there's also a daughter involved, and even if, you know, daddy and mommy don't get along, you probably see the daughter come for some sort of visit, right? So I figured there must have, something must have happened to them, and so at least it kind of made that absence make sense.
Yeah.
So there was that. And I'm sorry, I've forgotten the question.
did you feel the what actually occurred fitting to the film? Was it too much, too little? Because it is the big moment of the film. It's the moment where everyone would have their jaws on the ground, tears flowing.
What I really liked about this was the way that Kevin went about it. Because, to me, this is his pièce de résistance, right? This is his final and pivotal and most vocal fuck you to his mother. Because what he does is he ensures that everything she loves and her whole life is now in shambles. He kills her husband, who, yes, she's having major marital problems with, but because of him. And who, yes, is about to divorce her because of him. And he kills her daughter, who, you know, one can imagine what that must feel for her. And then he goes and kills all his classmates and gets himself in trouble and, you know, kills her social life and her career as well. I mean, she was once the champion of industry. You see her in a fancy house, you see her in a fancy office. Now she's in, well, she lives in a house, but it looks like a pretty shitty house. And as I say, you know, in the beginning of the movie, she's praising to Jesus that she's got this job where all she does is copy papers. And you know, now she's afraid to go anywhere because of the hatred that people have against her. I mean, there's a scene where she's just walking in the street and a random person punches her in the face. And this is not like a homeless person or a crazy person. This is like somebody who looks like she's on her lunch hour from a fairly decent office.
Someone ready to start getting their pension.
Yes. You know, and that kind of thing happens more than once in the movie. And I think I I don't want to say the word enjoy because that would mean that I would be a horrible person. But guess what? I kind of am. But I really thought that aspect of it was extremely fitting. That even though he did this huge thing, which maybe by itself, if you look at it by itself, might be a little bit out of character or much for the situation, I think what it achieved and how he went about it was actually the perfect ending and the most calculated assault, final assault on his mother.
Is it weird that when that scene was presented to us, how it ended up coming was we saw first him getting the package of the bike locks. I don't know if there's a proper word for them. And then we eventually saw Tilda Swinton rushing to the school hearing something had happened, only to see the bike locks on the doors, and then she immediately knew, holy shit, this child has gone insane. And my first reaction, while knowing how horrible this what Kevin had done was, is it possible that Kevin did this on purpose, not to torture his mother, but to give her some relief in the fact that he would be taking himself out of the family equation by getting caught and going to jail for a very long time? And
well, by the way, it wasn't very long, because it sounded to me like it was a four or five year sentence.
Well, you know, he was a minor, so I'm sure it wasn't going to be as long as if he was an adult. But
oh yeah, it's probably till 21. That's probably what it was. Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it would still be away for a while. And at the same time, it would give her some vindication within her marriage, because she would have proven to her husband that, hey, the child was a little shit. See, I wasn't lying all those years. And it would
Is she supposed to go to his gravesite and be like, you know, honey?
No. At this point, when you find out that the child is doing this, we don't know yet as to whether the husband or daughter are dead yet. So this is in my mind what I'm processing and thinking.
Yeah.
Like, could this be a good thing that Kevin is doing for his mother? And then, of course, we find out, no, it's not, because we go to the house and we see John C. Reilly and the daughter having been murdered by Arrow. From Kevin earlier, we assume. And I still kind of had in my head a moment where Tilda should have gone, see, I told you so. But it was a really insane moment for me. But it went even further when we get all of these intercuts of her visiting Kevin in jail. And it's basically them just sitting down for what I would guess is an hour each time and just not talking. Because obviously, what would you have to say to the child at that point? But at the end of the movie...
I'm surprised she actually went at all, to tell you the truth.
Well, I mean, this is a woman who we notice has rebuilt her son's room because she still worships him.
Right?
He's still her son at the end of the day. For some reason, she hasn't gotten over that.
Well, you don't see that for a while, though. Like, you don't realize what's happening. Or you don't see... I think the first time you see her, like, paint a wall blue, which was kind of an indicator. And I was like, is that what she's doing? I think it was after the first couple of times that she went.
Yeah, it took a while for you to see what she was doing. But you kind of saw it. And I did like that moment when you saw her painting the house blue and the Mormons came by. And they're like, do you know where you're going after life? She's like, yeah, I'm going to hell. Thank you. Bye. Yeah, but that final scene where dialogue finally opens up between her and Kevin in prison, and she finally asks the question that I've been burning, is why? Right? And all he can say is, I think I knew at one point, but I'm not sure now. And I'm not sure if that's supposed to be a redemptive moment for Kevin, you know, that he's finally sincerely meaning that he's sorry in some way. In that he knows that what he did was wrong, even though he didn't exactly say it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And actually, I don't know, if I were her, I'd need a lot more than I don't know why I did it. So for redemption. But see, so I remember when there's a final scene where they actually hug, and she hugs him very, very violently, and you can see there's pain in there. It's not just, you know, it's not I love you. It's like, you know, there's a bunch of mixed feelings. But I remember when I saw that, I wondered why, you know, why would you hug this person that has single-handedly tortured you and ruined your life for the past 16 years? Why would you even do that, you know? I just didn't see where that came from.
Well, yeah, had it in my head. So I guess the last question I'd ask you is, at this point, we finally released our top 10 of 2011. Would this movie break your list?
I don't know. It could. It could. I'd have to think about it, but it could. It's one of those difficult movies that are really good. So it's not an immediate, oh, yeah, that's a top 10. It's one of those where, you know, you sit down and you think about your top 10 movies, and after a while, you begrudgingly put it at, like, number 7. You know?
You're like, I liked it, but I don't want to say it's better than these other movies that I love. Yeah, it's definitely one of those kind of movies which I would really have had in contention for my top 10. But I'm happy with my top 10. I don't think I'd really push it in there too far. But it is a really interesting film from last year that not a lot of people saw or talked about. And yeah. If you're hearing this, I hope you find the time to go out and check out the film yourself. Anyways, I think that's pretty much it on We Need to Talk About Kevin, unless there's anything else you want to add before we go, Douglas.
No, not really.
Douglas is on Twitter, but that doesn't really matter because he doesn't update that often. He's DJR Lost His Name.
I posted a picture of the bathroom watching me recently.
I'm G-Man Reviews, and the website is at gmanreviews.com, where you can find the podcast through iTunes, as well as the podcast alley. Rate us, review us, email us. You can email me, I'm andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com. Let us know what you think. Thanks again for listening, and good night. Love's a little stronger, come what may. Do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey.